I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm chapter 9. All right, Psalm chapter 9, verse number 17. If you'll look back at me for just a second, you can go ahead and stand if you would. Let me tell you, I don't think there'll be a lot of humor in today's sermon at all. The subject of today's sermon, it's not a laughing matter. Everyone's standing out of respect to God's Word. If you're saved, I wish you'd do this. What I'm about to preach on, you ought to be thankful. And you'll understand it in a moment. If you're not a born-again Christian today, you could be thankful. But to be quite honest with you, you better examine the topic very, very carefully today. I'm going to preach a sermon today called this, The Crowd That Forgets God. The Crowd That Forgets God. Psalm chapter 9. I want you to look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let no man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." If you'll look again at verse 17, the Bible says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." If you'll look back at me, say, "Pastor, what's wrong with America today?" America forgot God. America has forgotten God. Let's pray. Father, please still the crowd, the young people that are struggling with their behavior. I pray, God, that they will just be quiet and be appropriate. For all of us, help the sermon to challenge us, help us to be encouraged. For the lost, might they realize they need to get saved. For the saved, might they be grateful that they are. Bless us now, Holy Spirit of God, with your presence in a unique and a supernatural way. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. Folks, it's a wicked thing to reject Jesus Christ as Savior. The sermon today is on the subject of hell. It's not mentioned much by preachers anymore, and look right this way. But we mention it here. You say, why? Because it's in the Bible. Hell is a real place. It's not just a cuss word. Hell is a real place. This is what you would call, I suppose, some people would call it old-fashioned hellfire brimstone type preaching. Preachers used to do it a lot more. Preachers used to remind people there was a hell. We have worked so hard today at becoming politically correct and correct in so many ways, we've left the truth out of things. Now, folks, I want you to know God loves you, but there is a place that's called hell. And it's a real place. Modern preachers don't preach it anymore because they think it's offensive. Well, I've got news for you. I think it's offensive when a preacher won't preach on hell. You know, if I care about you and there's a place called hell and I would fear that you would go there, if I really cared about you, I'd want to tell you the truth about it. Now, I don't consider me not telling someone about hell. I don't consider that me not being offensive. I think that's me retracting or withholding something from you that you need. And so this thing called hell, it's real. The Bible says here in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. It's a wicked thing to reject Christ as Savior. And hell is no game. Hollywood has no way of appropriately depicting what hell is really like. I believe when the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God, it's talking about the people in a nation that forget about God and they won't trust Christ. They're going to die and go to hell. The Bible teaches that. And I know that's not real popular, and I know it's not really something that we like to hear about, but it's still true. So someone that rejects Christ, they're going to die and go to hell. That this week I was speaking to a man. He must have been about 65 or 70 years of age, and he was sitting in my office, and we began to talk, and he had a matter that he wanted to discuss with me, and I talked to him about it, and it was a trouble that he had in his life, and I concluded the counseling session with this. His name was Howard, and I said, "Howard, if you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven?" He said, "No, sir, I don't." And I said, "Howard, do you want to go to hell?" Boy, his face became so serious. And he said in a southern gentlemanly way, he said, "No, sir. No, sir, I don't." I said, "Then you're going to have to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior." And then a little later on in that conversation again, he said, "Sir, I don't want to go to hell." And I said, "Howard, you don't have to go to hell." And it was just a few minutes later, he trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. I'll never forget, when I was a young preacher boy, I was called to preach when I was 16 years of age, and I wanted to preach pretty bad. I went down to the jail and told them I was a preacher. Now, I had no idea that to go in and preach at the jail, you were supposed to be 18 years of age. I didn't know that. I was only 16. They didn't ask. I didn't tell. A few years later, I found out I was going in 2 years too soon in my age category. And that, I think, because of maturity, I understand that. But I'll never forget the first time I went into the jail. I was scared, to be honest. I'd seen Gunsmoke, and I'd seen Matt Dillon. And I'd seen every time they put somebody in jail, the guys behind the bars had these steel cups that they had their coffee in, and they'd rake them up and down the bars, and they always had a knife that somebody smuggled into them and everything. And here I am, I'm a 16-year-old preacher boy, and I got called to preach, and I was going to go in and preach, and I was afraid. There were some pretty mean characters in there, and I went in, and what would happen is there was always a handful of jailers there, and they had a double set of bars. You would go through one set of bars, and then they would take you in and take you through a second set of bars. And, of course, there was always somebody all the way on the outside. And then there was somebody that would guide you in on the inside. And through a freak occurrence, I was all the way on the inside. Always felt very comfortable because there was a jailer just on the outside and then another jailer on the outside of that outside. And I always thought, okay, my escape route is planned and everything is fine. I was 16. I was afraid I was going to go in and, you know, I'd go in and I'd preach to them and tell them they were all sinners and they were going to die and go to hell. And when you're 16, you're talking to all adult men and telling them all they're going to die and go to hell. You know, you're a little bit on edge because I was just wondering if they were going to let me die and go to heaven because I told them they were going to die and go to hell. But I went in, and I remember one night I went in to preach, and when I went in to preach, all of a sudden you could hear the radio and the jail was going crazy and sirens everywhere. And the next thing you know, the jailer just outside my set of bars, he stepped out the second set of bars to go back out to where the office area and everything was. Well, I got done with my preaching, and usually I could rattle this bar, and then the jailer would let me out, and then another jailer would let him and I out. And so I went over to rattle the bar, but nobody came. So I rattled the bar again, and nobody came. And I'm thinking, oh, brother. And so it wasn't long until the jailer all the way on the outside, he said, "Jeff, you're going to be in there a while. There's been an incident in the community, and everybody's been called out but me, and I can't come in there. That's policy." And I'm thinking, phooey on policy. I am stuck in here with these guys, and I just preached the devil out of them, and you're going to leave me in here? 2 hours later. You say, well, what did you do for those 2 hours? I told them all about the love of God. Then I thought, you know, I really need to talk to them for a few minutes. But I for 2 hours, I was behind those bars. And I got to tell you, I'd look back, and there were some pretty rough birds in there. Now, when you're 16, there and these men, they were in there for all sorts of reasons. It was scary. It was a very scary thing to me to be behind those bars. But here's the great thing. I did get out. I got out. And I escaped. But I got to tell y'all something. The Bible teaches this place called hell, when you're cast in there, there's no getting out. You can shake the bar all you want, and nobody's getting you out. See, I knew that eventually that they were going to come back from the incident in the community, and eventually I was going to see that jailer walk through, and he's going to let me out. But according to the Bible, once someone's cast into this place called hell, they never come out. And that was a terrible, terrible incident for me. And you say, well, what was bad? It wasn't just bad because I was locked behind the bars. I got to tell you, it was bad because of who I was locked behind the bars with. They were nasty people. There were some terrible, terrible people that I was behind the bars with. And I want you all to understand something. If you die and go to hell, not only will you be locked in there, But the kind of people that will be there, far worse than what you could find in the worst of the penitentiaries that you could find anywhere in the world today. In hell, you'll be locked in, and you'll be with the worst kind of people ever. Now, let me tell you, in hell, even what's worse than that, and I don't have time to explain this today, but if you die and go to hell, you'll be separated from God for all eternity. That's hard for you to understand. That's really the worst part about hell. You won't be with God. You won't be in heaven. But I tell you, this thing of going to hell and being with the kind of people that will be in hell, it's a terrible thing. You say, well, who's going to be in hell? And that's basically the premise of my sermon this morning. The Bible says that people are going to be turned into hell, and those that forget about God, those that don't care about God, those that are not interested in God. So let me describe something to you. First of all, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8, God gives a list of these God-forgetters that get cast into hell. And what you need to understand is, if you're a born-again Christian today, you don't have to worry about this because you'll go to heaven. But if you're not a born-again Christian today, you ought to be concerned about this. These are the people that you will end up in hell with if you go to hell. These are the God-forgetters. And in Revelation 21:8 it says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and the liars shall all have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There God told us these are those people that have forgotten about God, that forget about God, and they are cast into hell. There's the list. But let me describe the list to you just a little bit better. It said there, the fearful are people that will be in hell. You say, what is that? Well, I when I think of the fearful, I think maybe of the cowards of life. Can you imagine somebody that was a coward, and as a result of it, somebody else gets hurt? As a coward, maybe they've got a fear that they should not have. Maybe they're sissy, twerpy, soft people. People that, hey, maybe it's somebody that wouldn't get saved because they were afraid of a crowd. I wonder how many people sit in a church service like this, and they're told that there's a heaven, and they're told that there's a hell, and somebody makes it very simple for them to get born again or get saved, but they don't, because they're scared to death of the person that they're sitting beside. They're scared to death to get saved because of what someone around them might think, that the fearful will be in hell. And if you die and go to hell, you'll be there with those people. There are people that didn't get saved because they were afraid of what a friend might say. Or they're afraid, hey, maybe there's someone that goes to church all the time and they're afraid to admit they're not saved. I hate to say it, but not everybody that comes to church is born again. Not everybody that has their name on the church roll is born again. And maybe you're not saved, but you're afraid to say that you're not saved. And therefore, you'll end up in hell because you've been masquerading as a saved person. That's a very dangerous thing. But the Bible says all those that forget God are going to end up in hell. Now, if you die and go to hell, you're going to be with a bunch of fearful people in hell. But then the Bible says the unbelieving are going to be in hell. Revelation 21:8, it tells us again, but the fearful and the unbelieving, people like Madeline Murray O'Hare, that had the Bible taken out of the public school, by the way, which was one of the stupidest things she could have ever done, because the school system did not go up thereafter. It went down thereafter. Boy, she had that. And there's somebody that she said, well, I don't believe in God. And so you're going to be in a hell with a bunch of people that rejected God and they're unbelieving. People that don't want to believe the Bible is God's word. People that don't want to believe there is a hell. People that don't want to believe there is a heaven. People that don't want to believe Jesus is the way to that heaven. People that don't want to believe that they were created by Almighty God, but they're a part of an evolutionary process. That's the kind of people that will be in hell. God said the fearful will be in hell. God said the unbelieving will be in hell. But not only that, those people that forget God, there's the abominable. You say, what is that? Who is that? These are God haters. These are filthy, vile, wicked, ungodly people. These are the abominable. They're people that they're Christian haters. They're Jesus haters. They're church haters. They're rebels against God, rebels against His holiness, rebels against Him. Hey, they're preacher haters. Now, you're going to be in hell with people who are fearful. You're going to be in hell with the unbelieving. You're going to be in hell with the God haters, the abominable. The most wicked thing that someone could do is to know what Jesus did for them and to rebelliously reject it and say no to it. Listen, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:29, of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You say, what is that really talking about? It's talking about somebody that's been told Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. He loves you. He wants to save you. Trust Jesus as Savior. And you just flat out say, no, I'm not going to. And God said, you talk about somebody that's been rebellious against God. God sends His Son, and God does all that He does for someone to be saved, and they flat out say, no, I don't want it. God said, He uses these words, sorer punishment. I mean, God rejectors go to hell anyway. But for somebody where it's been made very simple and very clear, God said, you're getting some double dog punishment going on there because you rejected my Son like you did. People that know of the grace of God, but they willfully reject it. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. This place called hell, it's not a good place. You're going to be, if you go to hell, you're going to be with all the cowards of life. If you go to hell, you're going to be with all the unbelieving people in life, faithless people. If you go to hell, you'll be with the abominable, and those are the God haters of life. The abominable, that's a bottom of God's scum bucket for the human race. That's who they are. Their presence in hell will intensify the misery. Remember, when I went behind those bars, it was bad to be locked in and not to get out. But the real issue was not being locked in and can't get out. The real issue is who I was with while I was there. That was a part of it. And I just want you to realize, when you go to hell, you're not going there and you're not going to be a one-man band. You're going to be there with a lot of people. You say, what kind of people? The worst people in all of eternity. You're going to go there with the ones that spit in God's face, and you're going to go there with the ones that are the unbelieving and the fearful. That's who you'll be in hell with. But wait, that verse there in Revelation 21:8, it goes on. It says you're going to be there with the murderers. The murderers. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8 that those murderers, they're going to be there. See, anybody that's not trusted Christ, you're going to be with them. Someone who wrongfully takes life. God says that's wicked. God hates murder. God hates what Joseph Stalin did to his people and what Charles Manson did during his tirade here. What ISIS does to people, God hates that. God hates that kind of behavior. Hey, listen, I've got this hunch. There's this guy by the name of Stephen Paddock that was guilty of killing 58 people in the Las Vegas shooting. I got a hunch he's not a born-again Christian. I got a hunch that he's going to be in hell. Hey, don't you be shocked if you die without Christ that you don't wake up and look that guy right in the face, because he's liable to be right there in hell with you. He's a murderer. You just take what took place in Sutherland, Texas, where Devin Kelly shoots all those people at that church. That old boy, if he don't get saved, he's going to split hell wide open. And let me tell you something. You think hell is going to be a picnic? It's not going to be a picnic. The day you open up your eyes in hell and you look across and you see Devin Kelly, who took a gun and he shot 26 people dead that were at church, that's who you're going to be in hell with. It's no game. Hell's not like that. Hey, today, people use the word hell. It's a cuss word, and they tell their jokes and everything. But according to the Bible, God said, all those that forget God, those that reject God, they're going to go to hell. Who is that? Oh, those are the fearful. Those are the unbelieving. Those are the murderers. You take an Adolf Hitler. Do you realize that Hitler had 6 million Jews slaughtered? He killed over 300,000 of his own men. How wicked. Might I tell you, when you get to hell, you won't check in and say, hey, give me the presidential suite. Make sure you put me in a good subdivision. Oh, no. You may walk into hell and come face to face with an Adolf Hitler. Talk about someone that was guilty of mass murder. We're talking about bloodthirsty human monsters. People have no respect for life. All the gangsters and the drug dealers and that kill in their business. It's what they do every day. That's the kind of people that end up in hell. So God said, you go to hell, what's going to happen is you're going to be surrounded with cowards. You're going to be surrounded with unbelieving people. You're going to be surrounded by murderers. The Bible then, it goes on in Revelation 21:8, these people that forget God. God said, the whoremongers. What are we talking about? The prostitutes, the pimps, the sex traffickers, the rapists, the Playboy crowd, the Hugh Hefners, the MTV crowd that advertises all the perversion and the immoral crowd. Let me tell you, that's who you're going to be in hell with. See, those people, if they don't get born again, they're going to go to hell. And they're going to suffer in that hell. You say, but I'm a pretty decent person. You're not going to be in a place that's for decent people. It's not that. That's not what hell's like. We're talking about men who prey on other men's wives, the whoremongers of life, shacking up with dogs like dogs off the street. And I'm just here to tell you, that's who's in hell. God said, all those that forget God. And then he begins to describe them. He says, I'm talking about the murderers and the whoremongers and the cowards of life and the unbelieving people. Then he goes on and he talks about, there's another word that he uses. Revelation 21:8, he talks about the sorcerers. That's witchcraft. He said, those that practice witchcraft. What kind of witchcraft? Oh, we're talking about witchcraft could be in a variety of things. Maybe it's the human sacrifice aspect of witchcraft. I don't know. But some of you think because you watched Harry Potter and you think you understand what witchcraft is really all about, you have no concept. It's a real thing. It's a real thing and it's demonic and it's out of hell. But God said people like that are the people who are going to end up in hell. And when you get to heaven, it's not going to be like going to a church picnic. When you get to hell, it won't be like going to a church picnic. When you get to hell, you'll be there with those that have been involved in that kind of a life. The sorcerers, the blood drinkers. The those that are entertained with the vampire concept of life. We're talking about, I read a story about a drug dealer. He told the story of how in the area where he sold his drugs, his goal was to try to get the young people between second and fifth grade started on the drugs because he knew that if he could get them hooked, he would have a client for life. Now, how wicked could a human being be? Than to take the purity of a little 10-year-old boy or girl and try to get them hooked on drugs so that he could make money off of them for the rest of their life. You say, that's bad. That's who you'll go to hell with. You go to hell with people that think that way. We're talking about that filthy, the word that's used there, the word sorcerers, it comes from a Greek word. It is the word pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy. It's talking about enchantment, including drugs. And I'm just here to tell you that that's the kind of people that'll be in hell. You go to hell, you're going to be there with the greatest cowards of history. You're going to go there with the most unbelieving people of history, the greatest murderers of history. You're going to go there with the great God haters of history, the whoremongers, the sorcerers. But not only that, the Bible says you'll be there with the idolaters. The idolaters, these are those God forgetters that end up in hell. Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38, it says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. In other words, there's not to be any God other than Jehovah God. And I realize that today, you know, you go out here and you'll see an 18-wheeler, and they've got smashed on the side of that 18-wheeler. Go to the church of your choice. Fooling on that, you ought to go to the church of God's choice. Somebody said to me, he said, well, it really doesn't matter which God you serve as long as you're serving the God. I'm sorry, that's wrong. There is one God, it is Jehovah God. It's not Allah, it's not Muhammad. Hey, it's not the government. The government is not our God. But the Bible says idolaters, those that lift something up above God, they're going to be in hell. Those who trust other than Jesus Christ. You know, there are still places in this world where they look for virgin sacrifices. There are still places in this world where they are worshiping statues. And there is one God and only one God. That's Jehovah God. And God said, people that worship any other God, you say, but pastor, wonder if they're sincere. They will sincerely then go to hell. Because if you reject Jesus Christ, you don't go to heaven. You see, God said, those that forget me, they're going to hell. The God forgetters are going to hell. Now, if you're saved, you don't have to worry about it. If you're not saved, let me warn you, you ought to be concerned about this thing. You ought to worry about it. You go to hell, you're going to be with the greatest cowards of history. You're going to be with the most unbelieving, those that hate God the most. You're going to be with the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers. And now we see these idolaters. Hey, in hell, you don't get a check out like at the hotel. When you're all done, you don't go to the front desk and say, give me my bill, here's my key. No, you're stuck. There's no honeymoon suite in hell. You won't get a free continental breakfast in hell. There's no air conditioning or pool to swim in at midnight. No, then the Bible says in hell, he goes on in Revelation 21:8, and he talks about the liars. The liars that will be in hell. What are these? These are the God forgetters. We're talking about the nasty, dishonest crowd. We're talking about even, if you will, the pretenders. Some of you will remember the name David Koresh in Texas. What was he? He was a pretender. And a lot of people got hurt. I believe people went to hell because of a David Koresh. How many of you remember the James Jones Guyana, South Africa incident in the late 1998 or so? 900 people died because this guy said he was the second coming of Jesus Christ walking on the face of the earth. And he was nothing but a great big phony liar that had 900 people that probably died and went to hell because of him. We're talking about the liars. That's the kind of people that you'll be in hell with. People that you have to understand, people that don't love God, that don't care about God, that don't care about right. Hell is not just a decent alternative to heaven. Oh no. As good as heaven is, hell is that bad. And you don't want to die and go to hell. And the Bible says hell's full of liars. All the people that say, well, I don't believe there is a hell, they'll end up in hell as a believer. That's who you'll be with. Hey, lying hurts God. It hurts Jesus. It hurts God's people. It hurts the church. But the Bible says that hell is full of liars. So, according to Revelation 21, verse 8, when God said, all those that forget God, they're going to have their place in hell, he tells us who that is. He says, if you go to hell, you'll be there with the cowards. You'll be there with the unbelieving. You'll be there with the God haters, the filthy, vile, abominable people. You'll be there with the murderers of history, the whoremongers, the sorcerers of history. You'll be there with the idolaters and the liars. Then God describes another group of God forgetters. Revelation 19, verse 20, he says this. He says, and the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. See, not only are you going to be with the worst of the worst of the worst from the human race, if you go to hell, you're going to go to hell. Hey, if you say, boy, those are a lot of nasty people, that's nothing. That's only the start. When you get to hell, you'll be there with the beast. You'll be there with the false prophet. You'll be there with those people. Here the Bible talks about the beast and the false prophet. The beast will be in hell. The beast is the personal chief of the devil's empire. He deceived millions to take the mark 666 during the tribulation period. The false prophet will be in hell. That's the Antichrist, possesses all the power of hell. That's evil's emperor. The beast, the false prophet, Lucifer, that's Satan's trinity, if you will. Those are Satan's business partners. They try to kill God, and they'll bring you in and take you right to hell with them. You need to understand, when you get to hell, you'll not only be in hell with the worst of the worst in history, as far as the human race is concerned. If you die and go to hell, you'll be with the leaders of Satan's army. Hell's leadership and all the board members. Satan's team. Lucifer's helpers, the devil's co-conspirators, Satan's family, hell's planning committee, Lucifer's best friends.
See, when we go to hell, we go and we're with the human race that forgot about God. But wait a minute, not only are we there with the human race, we're with the non-human beings that are even more vile than the God rejectors from the human race. You're there with Lucifer. You're going to end up being there with the false prophet and the beast. But wait, according to Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, it says this. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Well, what's that wicked mean? Really, what that is, there's an extra emphasis there. The wicked, that's the worst of the worst. It is the worst of the fearful. It's the worst of the unbelieving. It's the worst of the murderers. It's the worst of the whoremongers. It's the worst of the sorcerers. It's the worst of the idolaters. It's the worst of the liars. It's the worst of the demons. He is saying to us, not only are you going to be there with that kind of person, but you're going to be with the worst of that kind of person. We're talking about the weirdest of the weird. We're talking about the chief sinners of the sinners. We're talking about the vilest of the vile, the wildest of the wild, the sickest of the sickos, the most evil of the evil, the grotesque of the gross, the society's worst rejects. Now we're talking about the wild, whacked out people that kill with chainsaws and the people that, like a Jeffrey Dahmer, that will actually eat his victims. By the way, you think that's funny? Well, let me explain. That's real. And if you die and go to hell, that's the kind of people that will be there with you. And today, our society, Hollywood has tried to tell us what hell's like. They don't even come close to what hell's like. They don't even come close to telling you the truth about it. We're talking about the demons of the human race are going to be there. When it says the wicked shall be turned into hell. You know that one third of heaven's angels who walked out on God, disloyal, and they were poisoned with their pride, the hell's angels, if you will, they will end up in hell. We're talking about all the God rejectors and the Jesus rejectors of history. Revelation 21:8 tells us, if you go to hell, there's a long list of the worst people you've ever seen in society. You'll go to hell with them. But not only that, if you go to hell, you'll be with the devil's trinity in hell because he's locked in hell with you. You understand your place behind those bars, not just with a bunch of bad people. We're talking about some bad supernatural beings that are evil, that have been God's enemy, that hate God. That's who you'll be in hell with, but not only that. The Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 10, it describes even more of these God-forgetters. It says this. It says in Revelation 20, verse 10, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Huh. You understand, he's the big one. This is the worst of the worst. The devil. The ultimate God-hater. If you go to hell, you will be in hell with the devil of the universe. God's biggest enemy. Can I tell you something that you need to understand? God loves you. I'm going to do something here real quick. How many of you believe God loves you? Would you raise your hand real quick? You may put your hand down. I'm going to explain something to you. Whether you're saved, whether you're born again or not, God loves you. I'm going to explain something very clearly to you. The devil, to get at God, would like to take you to hell. God hates the devil. And because the devil knows God loves you, the devil tries to hurt God by destroying you. Now let me take that a step further. If you die and go to hell, you better believe when you get to hell with the devil, where he has you, no holds barred. I can't imagine what he's going to do to you in hell. Say why? He hates God. When the devil gets you into hell, what he'll do to you is unspeakable. Unspeakable. Because he hates God and he knows it'll break the heart of God if you die and go to hell. And he will torment you for all eternity. Hey, if you go to hell, It may be bad if you end up there with a David Koresh. It may be bad if you end up with an Adolf Hitler or the coward of the cowards. It may be bad if you end up with somebody on Satan's team. But I'm going to tell you, the one you ought to be afraid of is that you're going to end up with the devil himself. And the Bible says here in Revelation 20, verse 10, that he is cast into the very same hell that you're going to go to. You understand? You're going to end up in the super torture chamber that was created for the one that's behind all murder. That torture chamber that's created for the one that's behind incest and the Hitlers and the disease and the lying and the abuse, the sodomy and the evil and the wickedness and the idolatry and the jealousy and the pride and the prisons and the rape and the depression. You're going to end up in a super torture chamber there with the one that is responsible for the hatred and the robbery and the starvation and the blindness and the deafness and the divorce and the fear and the hurt, the disloyalty and the war and the sin and the betrayal and the deception and the poverty and the heartbreak of life. If you die and go to hell, you'll be with the worst of the worst of the human race for all centuries. You'll be there with the devil's staff, all his cohorts, the demons of hell, but worse than that, you'll be there with God's greatest enemy who hates God intensely, that will do anything to hurt God, which means tear you to shreds in hell. If you're saved, you ought to thank God. You're never going to hell. If you're not saved, I'd get saved. It's real simple. The Bible teaches everyone's a sinner. The Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. That means nobody's right all the time. The Bible tells us there's a penalty for sin. It says, for the wages of sin is death. See, we're sinners. There's a penalty. But the Bible teaches us that Jesus paid that penalty for us because God loves us. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In other words, we're sinners. There's a penalty for our sin. Jesus paid the penalty for us. If we'll accept what Jesus did as a free gift, we accept Jesus in our heart. We accept that he paid our sin debt for us. We can get saved and go to heaven when we die. The whole difference between heaven and hell is what you will do with the free gift called salvation that Jesus makes available. If you accept that gift, you go to heaven and you never go to hell. If you reject that gift, you die and go to hell, locked behind the bars with no jailer to let you out. Worse than that, with the worst of the worst in the human race, with the devil's personal staff, and with the devil himself to torment you for all eternity. To me, it's a no-brainer. Get saved. Get saved. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't play. Don't move around. Don't talk. This is so serious. It's so serious. Some of you just don't get it. It's serious. If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know that for a fact? Who here would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know I'd go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. But I do not know that I'm going to heaven. Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Will you raise your hand and let me see it? Good. I see a hand. Someone else, you say, I need to be born again. I'm not saved. Who here can raise their hand and say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died today, I know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I'll not lie to you. I'll not lie in church. I know I'm saved. Would you put your hand up and let God see it? Now you put your hand down. There's already been a couple of hands raised where someone said, I'm not born again. And if I died today, I do not know I'd go to heaven. Is there somebody else that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I think I need to be born again. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me? There's another hand and another hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not sure if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. God bless you. There's another hand. God, I see those hands. God bless you. Someone else, you say, I'm not saved. Here's what's going to happen.
Those of you that just raised your hand, I don't want you to be shy about this. In a second, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In a second, we're going to stand. In a moment, the pianist is going to begin to play. As we stand, the pianist is going to play, and I want you that raise your hand, say, I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven. I want to ask you to step toward the aisle. You won't be the only one coming. I want you to step toward the aisle, and we're going to have someone take the Bible and show you how to be born again. And that way, you don't die and go to hell. You'll leave here on your way to heaven. Those of you that are born again Christians, you ought to thank God that you're saved. You're not going to spend your eternity with those who forget God. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Name takers, personal workers, you come. If you just raise your hand, just step out and come this direction. Just step out. Yeah, don't be shy. Yeah, work your way through there. Let them get out, folks. If you're not saved, you come. We're going to take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a born-again Christian, let me recommend that you thank God you're saved. Thank God you're on your way to heaven. Those of you that are following the Lord and Believer's baptism, you should step out and make your way to the primary restrooms. Brother Ellswick, I think I have others coming down the aisle as well, if you will. If you're not saved, you come. Let's take a Bible and show you how to be born again. You do not have to die and go to hell. You can get born again and go to heaven. Again, if you're someone that's going to be baptized today, go ahead and go back and get yourself ready. You know where to go. There are people at the altar. We're opening Bibles and showing them how they can ask Jesus to come into their heart and save them. In other words, they came to church today, not saved, and honestly, on their way to hell. They'll ask Jesus to come into their heart and save them, and they'll leave today on their way to heaven. If you need to be saved, you come. And let me make it real clear to you. We're not talking about working your way to heaven. We're talking about the free gift called salvation. It's a free gift. God makes it available to us. Those of you that are at your seats, if you'll do me a favor, let's be careful. It's altar call time. Why don't you pray and ask God to work in everybody's life? Let's not play. Let's not joke around. Especially when you got a bunch of people on their knees getting born again. Born again, Christian, again, thank God you got saved. Had you died without Christ, you would have gone to that hell with those people. And for some of you Christians that never share the gospel, don't you tell me you care about people. You let the people you care about go to that place. How tragic. How tragic. Young people, let's not play. It will only take a few minutes and we'll be on our way, but it's a very important thing that people get born again. If you need to come, you come. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Are you saved? If you are, thank God. If you're not, come and get born again. There are all sorts of people that are getting born again in this service and the children's services. Churches used to tell folks about Jesus and get them born again. Now they're in too big of a hurry, got too many things going, interested in something other than the souls of men. I'll tell you, the devil likes that. One more time through the song. Those of you that are doing personal work, you take your time. Make sure it's done well and right. And thank you, Brother Hollinger.